Clear the screen, shift the scene. You're the writer of this dream. Let go of fear, let go of doubt. Stop playing the version that pulls you out. Clear the screen, clear the noise. Choose again, you've got the choice. The story changes when you see. Anxiety came to set you free.
Welcome back to another episode of the Clear the Screen podcast. I am Melissa Dealey.
And I am Billy Adme, and we are so excited for our lovely guest today, Miss Kelly Woodhouse. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
We are excited to have you, and I want to introduce you to the audience. Kelly Woodhouse is an award-winning international speaker, best-selling author, publisher, and coach. In fact, she is helping us publish two books ourselves. As a burn survivor, since the age of two, on 75% of her body, she transformed a story of near death into one of resilience and triumph. From being called the Scar-Faced Girl to gracing the TEDx stage twice, Kelly's journey has inspired millions worldwide. Her documentary, Still Beautiful, aired on TV, and her Goalcast videos surpassed 10 million views. Global TV named her one of the most inspirational people of 2020. You have to ask yourself how. How did the Scar-Faced Girl find the strength in her scars? And that's exactly what we're diving into here today. Kelly, I love what you have done with your life and how you've turned it around. And so let's just go back and, you know, share the story, because that is hardship that you've been through. You have been on Victim Island. You could have chosen to stay on Victim Island, and yet you've chosen to overcome it and move to Solution City, as we love to say. So please share that journey.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I do know burn survivors who, exactly like what you say, they're staying on Victim Island instead of going on to Solution City, right? Like, there's so many burn survivors like myself and Spencer and all these other burn survivors that are like, yeah, this happened to me, but that doesn't mean it, my life is over. So what else can I do? And I think that's the beautiful thing about life, is that there's millions of choices. So let's just take a step back, though. What happened is, we lived on a farm and I was 2 years old, and my cousins were 9 and 11, and they were throwing singles in the fire. And a spark came out and it landed on my dress and I exploded into flames. And as a result of that, I ended up with getting burns to 75% of my body. So I was rushed to the hospital. I was in and out of surgeries a couple times a week, and, you know, for 4 months. And then every 2 years until I was 20, I'd have to go back for more surgeries. So it's been, you know, a lifetime of, you know, in and out of the hospital. And then when laser surgery came out, then I ended up doing that. And I think I've done about 30 or 40 laser surgeries also to help with my scarring. So, yeah, so that's the beginning part of it.
And quite the story, right? You're just an innocent two-year-old hanging out with your cousins and your family, and your cousins are just being kids, right? And this just happened, and it, in that moment, your life shifted so profoundly.
Yeah, and I think what's so fascinating about it, too, is that a lot of times we just see a tragedy as a tragedy. We don't see that anything good can come of it. And so when you think about a two-year-old, and I know Melissa and Billy, you know, all three of us have kids, so we imagine our little two-year-olds, and in fact, I have a three-year-old grandson right now, and I just can't imagine something that devastating happening to him. And my mom was 21 at the time. My dad was 24, and my mom was pregnant with my sister. And, you know, when I see, like, my sons, I have twin boys and a daughter of 26, but my twins are 22, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, like, they're so young.
Right.
Right. And then to have something like that so tragic happen, like, I'm blown away that I didn't just, you know, check out. Right.
Like, right.
And my mom and my dad and, like, my family, like, you know, how they persevered through all of this also, You know, when I see my 22-year-old sons and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, if that was my mom when this happened to me, and, you know, it's, you know, I get my little 3-year-old grandson, it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine what it would be like to have to.
And yet here you are as a grandmother, and you've been through all of that and come out of it with, as all the accolades that Melissa listed out, like, you have done so much with your life, Kelly. We are in awe of that.
Yes.
Because there's way less tragic things that happen to people that keep them on victim island. And now, being in this line of work, we see how much people are at the effect, right? As opposed to being at cause, where life is not happening to you, it's happening for you.
For you.
So walk us through how you decided to take what happened to you and actually inspire it and use it as your story and your hero's journey to inspire others to come off of victim island. Talk a little bit more about that.
That's a great question, Billy. So I remember when I was 18, I went through a phase in my life where I wanted to know, why did I live?
Wow.
Right? Because 2 years old, 1968, most of my body burnt. Like, when you just think of that, you think there's no way I should have lived. So I was going through, well, why did I live? Right? And, you know, going through school, being teased, being bullied, you know, never having boyfriends because, of course, I was the ugly Scarface girl. So I didn't have my first kiss till I was like 18. And, you know, and I went through all those.
I didn't have my first till then either. So I didn't have any.
I know, right? And so I went through a phase. It's like, well, why do I have to be this way? Why do I have to struggle? Why do I have to be the ugly girl? Why do I have to go through all these surgeries? Why me? And so I actually went and got hypnotized to go back to the day I got burnt, because I also heard, not only did, like, I had heard that my mom was telling me the story about how she went in to visit me and she saw in my chart, I don't know what it said, but it was a special code. And that code basically means life or death. It means you better get to this room and you better help her. She's dying. So this was in my chart. And my mom asked the nurses, what happened? Why is this in her chart? And they said, oh, we put it in there just in case. So they didn't want to tell my mom that I had actually almost died the night before. So I wanted to go back to that day that I died. And I wanted to go back to the day that I got burnt. And so I went to a hypnotist, and it took, like, the session was like 2 or 3 hours. And it was fascinating for me. And again, I mean, now that, you know, I'm taking this with you guys, like, I'm learning so much more about it. But
by taking, you mean taking our Quantum Life Mastery School?
Your Quantum Life Mastery School that I'm learning with you guys has been awesome, because it's really helping me to understand myself better. So, but I wanted to go back to the day that I died to find out, why did I live? Right? And so,
what did you discover?
So I discovered a couple of things. One is, the vision that I had was me and a fuzzy gray matter beside me. And we were looking down on me, and we could see all the doctors and the nurses working on me. And we were having a conversation. And I believe that was my God. And here we are, we're talking. And he's like, you're too young to die. You have a purpose. There's a reason. And I was like, okay, but what is this reason? Like, why did I live? And he goes, you have a choice. You can live or you can die. That's totally up to you. But you need to live for your grandpa and your sister. So my grandpa passed away, and I felt like when he passed away, I kind of felt like I lost a part of me, because I didn't know if I actually lived my purpose with him. Even we had a great relationship. And then my sister, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, how I'm supposed to, you know, what's supposed to happen with her. I don't know. But anyways, it just kind of gave me some peace that I had a purpose. And then when I made the decision of, okay, I'm going to live, I went back in my body and I came back to life. So, yeah. So that was my experience with that. And so I always knew I had a purpose. And I also had a conversation with my grandpa. And my grandpa, he had tremendous guilt over me getting burnt because he was the one that told my cousin to burn the shingles. And he wasn't home. They went to a barbecue. So he felt guilty that he had done that. And he said, Kel, I went to church. And the pastor said, it's okay. There's a reason Kelly got burnt. She's going to live. You don't need to worry. She will live. And so that took away the feeling that my grandpa had. And so him and I were very, quite close. So yeah, so that's the story.
Such a beautiful story. And I love how at 18, you were asking those questions to get understanding and to know that, okay, so if I live, there must be a reason.
There had to have been a reason, because to me, there was just no... There was no medical reason why I should have lived.
Right.
In that badly burnt. Right.
And yet you did. And so, you know, as we always talk about, as Billy alluded to earlier, with being at cause or being at effect, when we're at effect, we're just like, oh, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves. Why me? Why me? Why me? And you went through that phase. However, you got through it. And then you started asking, okay, what's the reason behind this? Which is essentially, how is this happening for me, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the things I love about the program, is that you guys shifted that for me again, right? Because a lot of times, like the last few months, it's been really rough for me, you know, with my stepdad passing, and I feel like I'm kind of an antidepressant and I'm trying to get through everything. And so you guys said that to me, why these things are happening for you. And so when I look at my life, like, I became a speaker when I was 13 years old. We were 4-H and we had to do a public speaking competition, and I won it. And for me, that was the universe's way of teaching me back then, hold it, this is my plan for you. You are supposed to be a speaker. And when you're a speaker, you can teach people how to be resilient, how to get through this, how to see the gift in your tragedy. And, you know, I even lost a baby. I held my dead baby. She was 28 weeks and she was born a stillborn. And same thing. It was like, well, why did this happen? And I believe it happened because a year and a half later, I ended up having the twin boys. And we wouldn't have had the twin boys if we would have had her, because then we would have just stopped at the two girls. And so that was the gift. And I think that's what everybody needs to do, is find the gift in why these things are happening to us, or how they're happening to us. So, yeah.
Kelly, I mean, there's so much amazing stuff that's happened. And yeah, we, Melissa and I, are huge proponents of nothing is coincidence. Everything happens for a reason when it's meant to happen.
Right.
So how is your life and your impact now amplified going through this hero's journey, going through all those times where you were questioning? And like you said, life still gets us on victim island. But how now, since you've come through like the harder parts of it, how has going through that, you can acknowledge all that you've learned through this hardship? And now how are you impacting others with it?
So how I'm impacting others with it is by, you know, getting out and speaking, sharing my message. I've been to Africa twice. I've been to London, Taiwan, Canada, the U.S. I've been speaking Northwest Territories. I'm coaching people to write their books and become best-selling authors. And so I'm helping them get their stories out there. And, you know, the Gualcast video that has 10 million views on it, I mean, that just blew me away when that happened. And me and my daughter were watching the rankings, and it was like, her and I are freaking out. It was like, in 1 hour, we got to, 6 hours, we got to 1 million views. And it was like, oh my gosh. And not one single negative comment. Mm-hmm. So it was just so awesome to see that the message was hitting home for people, and that it doesn't matter what you look like. Like, you're still beautiful no matter what you look like. And, you know, people want to be like the Kardashians. They want to be these perfect people and put these filters on their picture. I still don't even know how to do filters on on my phone because I don't see any point in it. Like, this is what I look like. And I think that there's nothing more annoying when you go and you meet somebody and you're like, you don't look anything like your profile picture. Right? So to me, it's all about, life is all about, it's a journey. And we get to choose what we do with that journey. And it, like, I've had people tell me, I wouldn't go out in public if I look like you.
Wow.
That happened to me. I have. It's just like, oh.
They clearly have no filter of what comes out of their mouth either.
I know. It's rude. People are crazy that.
And yeah. And, you know, you look absolutely beautiful. And you also gloss over so many of your accolades. So I want to go back to what you just said so quickly. Especially the Africa part, because I knew you were talking about speaking. I know that you did more than just speak in Africa. That's part of your give back, is you were working with burn victims in Africa. So let's just unpack that a little bit. And I don't know if you did that both times, or one time was a speaking engagement, or both had both experiences. However, let's talk about your trips to Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. No, both trips were for burn survivors. So the first trip, we went to Kenya. And in Kenya, we went to Nairobi, and in the city of Nairobi, there is, in the middle of the city, there's a 1.5 square mile gully, and there's a million people living there. So if you can think of the population of Edmonton, where I live, the whole population of Edmonton living in 1.5 square miles, and they have no power, no water, no sewer. And so they asked me to come because in one of the other slums, that's about an hour away from there, there was a fire and 100 people died and 100 people got hurt. And so they wanted me to come to give the burn survivors hope. And so they took me to the hospitals, they took me to the fire halls, they took me, oh boy, I don't know where, they took me to like 7 churches. I don't even know what religion I am anymore.
It doesn't matter. It's whatever that, you know, you consider to be your higher self and spiritual power.
Yeah, exactly. And they had us go to the burn unit, and this going to the burn unit was, oh, I can't even explain it. Let me put it this way, because we're in Canada, we would not take our dogs to that hospital. That's how bad it was. It was just horrible. And here you are, you're seeing people. And I remember walking in and I could smell the infection. I could smell it. It was like, there's an infection in here. And my friend that I was with, he's like, oh, no, it's fine. I'm like, no. There's an infection in here. It has a really distinct smell to it. And it was really sad because these people are just not getting the same kind of medical care that we get in Canada or the U.S. And so it's just so sad to see these people suffer. And so what we did, though, is when I was here, I asked all my friends to donate pencils and sharpeners and little notebooks. And we took those to the kids. So we passed them all out, the notebooks and the pencils and everything. And one of the moms comes up to me, and she was burnt also. And she said, you know what? Thank you for doing that. These kids will likely never go back to school. And you bringing the pencils and the notepad, it makes them feel like they're in school. And it's because what happens when you go to like Africa, they're so ashamed of their scars. They do not show themselves in public. They hide. And so it's so sad that we don't accept them, or they don't accept their people.
It's like, to put it in perspective for the listeners here, remember lockdown not that many years ago and how hard that was for all of us and the anxiety, the stress, all of that. And yet, essentially, these burn victims are in lockdown for the rest of their lives if they can't leave their homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you bringing them that hope, the small gifts, makes them feel like they're in school. And you did not just one trip, you did two trips.
So was your other trip to another country, or did you go back to the same?
It was still Africa, but this time we went to Ghana.
Okay.
And this time I got to bring my daughter with me, and she was 14 at the time. And that was just a crazy experience in itself, because what was happening there is we would go to the schools and we would speak at the schools. And so this one school, Alex has beautiful, gorgeous, long brown hair, just like yours, Melissa. And so, of course, they're all trying to get to her and petting her, as she struggled with anxiety. So she had to put her hair in a bun. But the whole 2 weeks we were there, because she couldn't handle people wanting to touch her so much. And so Steve, he was with us again, and he's also a burn survivor. And I said, Steve, because Alex was really upset they were touching her so much. And I said, well, why are they touching her? They're not touching me. And he said, that's because they don't know what you've got. They don't understand that it's scars from a burn. They think I have a contagious skin disease. So they're scared of me. They don't want anything to do with me. But with my daughter, they want to touch her because white people are considered good luck. And so they want to touch you because they think your luck is going to rub off on them. And so that was a whole another experience, being able to take my daughter there. And I'll never forget, she said to me, Mom, like, they're like obsessed with you. Like, they carry their purse everywhere. Like, you mentioned the word water, and all of a sudden we're scrambling to find you water. Like, and if you're hot, like, they're doing everything they can. Like, why? I don't understand this. Like, yeah. And I said, Alex, and this is when Justin Bieber was really popular, right? I said, if you could go and be in the limo with Justin Bieber and go to the concert and be backstage with him, would you like that? She goes, yeah. I said, well, we're Justin Bieber to them. What are you talking about? I said, we are the stars. So in our own country, we're not. But there, these kids will likely never, ever get this close to a white person. So when they do, they're glued to us because they are honored that they get to be with us. And so she just had a really hard time understanding that. Right? But yeah.
Kelly, I mean, you've had so many of these amazing moments and stories of inspiration. Was there any like one specific moment that, like, when you look back on your journey, you're like, wow, I have so much gratitude for that now, despite it maybe being a difficult time in the moment? Is there one that you can think of?
Oh my God, there's so many moments.
Like, what's one that really sticks out for you?
So the one moment that comes to me is about, I think it's about 8 or 9 years ago. And I was in a really dark, dark place. I was in a very deep depression, and I've never been this way before. And here I was sitting on the floor in my bedroom, and I had my iPad, and I was Googling how to end my life. And I had three conditions. My kids couldn't be the one to find me, because I had my kids 1 week on, 1 week off. It had to be final, right? Because I've seen burn survivors where they go and they set themselves on fire and then they live. And so I didn't want that to happen, because now they also have more problems to deal with. And the third thing was it had to be painless. I didn't want to feel any more pain. I feel like I've had enough pain in my life. I don't need any more. And so here I am, and I'm trying to find a way. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, okay, if I ended my life, my mom would feel so guilty. She already feels so guilty that I got burned. She blames herself. So she would think, oh my gosh, it's my fault Kelly committed suicide, because if she wouldn't have got burned, she'd still be alive. My ex-husband, he would have said, oh my gosh, if Kel and I didn't have that fight yesterday, she'd probably still be alive. It's my fault. My sister would have said, because my sister and brother-in-law are multimillionaires, they would have said, if Kelly needed money, why didn't she reach out to me? We would have given her all the money she needs. My kids, would have blamed themselves. They would have said, we were bad kids. If I wasn't so mean to mom, it would be my fault. Mom would still be alive. And I thought, I couldn't let my family have those feelings. I couldn't do that to my kids or my family because it wasn't there.
What brought you out of that phase in your life?
So what happened is that I met a lady online who said, Kel, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get out of this funk. She saw something in me that I didn't see. And so we started coaching and she said, I'm going to coach you for free. 3 days a week, we'd have 1 to 2 hour calls every time. And so we're coaching and she's like, Kel, I'm going to help you get out of this funk because you're way too important in this world and we need to get your message out there. So we're going through the coaching sessions and she's helping me. And then all of a sudden she says to me, Kel, why don't you value yourself? And I'm, what are you talking about? Right? Like my ego piped up. My ego said, what are you talking about? I'm a speaker. I go to schools and I teach kids and I go to women's events and I teach them about how to love themselves. And what are you talking about? I value myself, right? And she goes, no, the reason I think you don't value yourself is because you're not making the money you want to make. Oh man, that hit me right here, right? Because I had set a goal to make a six-figure income and I wasn't 3 years in a row, I didn't meet my goal. So I was mad. She goes, Kel, don't call me until you know what value is. And I'm like, what the hell? What do you mean? What value? If value is not money, what is it? Right? Because we place a lot of money, a lot of value on money. We think the woman who's a $500 an hour lawyer is way more important than the woman who's flipping burgers at McDonald's. We place value on that. And I'm thinking, well, what's value? And so I started writing down things I did. So for example, I coached one of my friends to write a book. He's teaching people how to write books. And now all those people have their books out there, right? I reconnected my friend with his family. They thought he was dead because he was an alcoholic and they told him, don't come back unless you're sober. And I reconnected them, right? You know, I've been to Africa and I'm helping burn survivors and you know, all these things are happening. And I wrote everything down in third person. And then the next day, I read everything. And I was like, who is this chick? I better know her. Right? And so I gave my coach my homework because I had to give her the homework. And she's like, I think you get it. You finally get it. Your value is not in how much money you make or don't make. Your value is in your acts of service. That's what you do to help people. And that was when I realized, I'm the only one of my siblings who's not a millionaire. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm thinking, yeah, but they don't have a book in Africa. They don't have a Goldcast video with 10 million views. They don't have a documentary about their life story that's making an impact with people. Right? So why do I place so much emphasis on the fact that I have to be a millionaire in order to be a valuable person?
So that whole saying that comparison is the thief of joy, right? When we compare ourselves to people at a certain level, we it's not always apples to apples, right? Value is, like you said, your service in the world. You have a huge service in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all do. Right? Yeah. But a lot of times we, like you say, Billy, we always want to compare ourselves to other people. I mean, how many times have we walked into a room of, you know, 200 people and the first thing we're doing is saying, oh my gosh, she's more beautiful than me. Oh, she looks like she's a millionaire. Oh my gosh, that person looks like they've got it all together. And that's the thing we do is we go and we compare ourselves to everybody. And yeah, you can talk to that person and they probably have way more problems than you do.
Right.
Exactly. Because we're judging by literally the outside versus the inside, which comes back full circle to your message in your documentary. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the value of teaching that to children and adults all over the world is powerful because that starts to shift the programming. The programming that we just look at the outside. As opposed to recognizing, let's connect heart to heart let's get to know the person on the inside, because every person on the inside is absolutely beautiful, like your message says.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll never forget one girl, a friend of mine, she said she wouldn't go for lunch with her friend because she had bumps on her skin. Yeah. And I am like, are you kidding me? Do you honestly think your friends are noticing the bumps on your skin? So I was telling her the story. You know, I said, people say to me, Kel, I notice your scars for about the first 5 minutes. And then after that, I don't see your scars anymore. Why is that? Because they are still physically there. They have not disappeared. They're physically there.
Yeah.
But the reason is because they're seeing my spirit. They're seeing my laugh, my smile, my energy. They're feeling that.
Yes.
That's what they're seeing. They don't give a crap about what you look like, or that you have flabby arms, or that you have a scar on your face, or whatever that is. And that, I think that's the bigger message that I'm trying to get across to people, is that nobody cares about that stuff. They're back to, they might notice it, but then they're back to thinking about themselves. Because that's what we do. We think more about ourselves than anybody else.
Exactly. Yeah. It's even for ourselves. And because I always say this, you know, I'm obsessed with Melissa's hair too, right? She's got the beautiful hair. And it's the one thing that you lack. You're always looking at other people. And when you think about it, if I were to see another person and, you know, they didn't have big luscious hair, I wouldn't judge them any less for them. In fact, I would be like, oh, you know, it made me feel a little bit better. Okay, there's more people in the world that don't have big luscious hair like Melissa. And it's, you know, it's not unfair. It's just, you know, that's what it is. And yet we still will look at that person. And when you get to know the person, it is knowing, like you said, their soul, right? This is just the meat suit that we were given. And your meat suit was turned into the way it was in order for you to fulfill your mission.
Yeah.
Right? Because imagine if you didn't get burned, your life would be way different. And maybe it wouldn't be as fulfilling. Maybe you would be a gazillionaire and you would be miserable. Because how many people do you know out there that have so much money and yet they're dead inside?
But you know what? I can be a burn survivor and still have money.
Exactly. Absolutely. One or the other.
Oh, that's the thing. I don't have to be beautiful, gorgeous, scarless, or perfect. And it drives me nuts when I see some of the makeup companies that say flawless. You're going to be flawless. I'm like, oh my God, you are setting people up for failure. You are not setting them up to feel beautiful. You're setting them up for failure. Because if they have one little thing wrong with them, then they're not flawless. And then that means they're not beautiful.
That means they won't go out with their friends because they've got one or two spots.
Exactly.
We know there's no such thing as perfect, right?
Yes.
Exactly. I always tell people, don't strive for perfection. Strive for near perfect. Because if you strive for perfection, you'll fail every time. If you strive for near perfect, you're gonna succeed every single time.
Well, we always say strive for growth. As long as you're growing, you're going in the right direction, right?
Because
you're growing, you're decaying, and you've done so much growth. So Kelly, finally, we want to ask you, what does amplify your impact mean to you, and how do you embody that every day?
Oh my goodness, what a great question. You guys asked the best question. Love it. So, you know, I think amplify your impact to me means, like, sometimes we just get so stuck in our pity party, right? And so, a lot, and sometimes we want to stay there, right? like, so to me, you have a choice. Amplify your impact to me means that you have a choice. You can go and amplify your impact in your pity party. Like, there are people that love to be, like you say, you know, on Victim Island, and you can have your impact there too. Or you can go to Solution City, where you can amplify your impact and you can have a bigger impact in the world. Like, I just really believe that we're here for a bigger purpose. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of myself that I'm one of these people that is like, yeah, this happened. Okay, now what?
Yeah.
What can I do about this? Right? Like, you know, like, even, for example, I got scammed last August and I lost $2,400, and I was upset. I was like, oh my gosh, really? Like, like, this is money I work for, and I got scammed, and I felt so bad about it because I pride myself on not, you know, getting scammed. But then I realized, okay, so it happened. What else can I do? How can I see the good in this? And where can I go from here? And so to me, amplify impact means taking a situation and amplifying it so that it can just be amazing for everybody. And so I really love, like, I'm so proud of that Gloucast video that has 10 million views. Like, I can honestly say I've impacted over 10 million people.
Wow.
Right?
That's huge.
It's huge, right? Like,
it's huge. And truly, not many people can say that, right?
Not many people can say that. I mean, or I could have said it, but I actually have the proof that
right.
10 million people.
True.
Right? So, and to me, I'm a proof kind of person. I need right. to see the proof, right? So, I don't know if I answered your question or not, but
I don't. And we know that you're in our program right now, and we know that is going to allow you to, again, just get out of your own way, wherever you are in your own way, because we tend to do that sometimes, right? We think it's external reasons, and then we realize,
yeah.
oh, it's me and my thought process. And, you know, we've seen the transformation of our students. So we're super excited to see where you take this. And with what you've already done with the skills that you know, now having the upgrade in the neurology is just going to allow you to, again, amplify what your mission is for moving here forward even that much more. So we're super excited to see all your growth, Kelly, and see all that you've done so far. And thank you for helping us with our book and doing that work in the world, because there are so many stories that people are shy to say. I know I was, you know, hesitant about sharing some of my stories that I've had. And I know that, again, the purpose of me going through all those hard things is so that I can use it to inspire others, that I, luckily, that God has given me the strength and the resilience to get through those so that I can inspire the others that maybe don't feel like they have the strength, right? And I say they don't feel like they have the strength because we know that they do, right? Yeah. Just we see people's magnificence. And just like that coach saw your magnificence, Kelly, this is what our job is. And this is what we teach our coaches and our practitioners. So we're super excited to see all that's going to be coming up in this next little bit.
No, and I'm loving the program so far. And I love how you talked about getting out of your way. And that's been sticking with me too, Billy, because I know I'm in my way. And I know I've got all these other projects. And I know that sometimes you just put stumbling blocks up or you put obstacles up. Mm-hmm. And that it's like, why is this so hard? Because it's not hard. I know I can do this. But why am I not wanting to do this? Right?
Yeah, it's the unconscious mind in the moment protecting us from something, and childhood program rearing up as well. And so, you know, this episode is part of the book series that we're doing with you. The podcast is called Clear the Screen, and that's what it's all about. It's clear the screen of the movie playing in your mind unconsciously. And when we can bring that movie to our conscious awareness to recognize, oh, that's not the movie I want to play. Let's get rid of it. Those are the tools that we teach. And, you know, Clear the Screen is all about literally changing the movie from the horror show to the love story, which is what gets you out of your own way, gets you to Solution City, and gets you moving forward in your purpose, in your mission in life. And the purpose of the book is to share all of these stories to let other people know that they too can clear their screen. And just giving them hope and inspiration starts to shift the movie playing in their mind, because they know if you did it, they can too.
Yeah.
So thank you, thank you, thank you. We love working with you. Thank you for supporting us in getting these stories out to the world, because they are so important in bringing people off Victim Island into Solution City, changing how they walk through life. And that will be yet another powerful impact and way that you touch millions more lives.
Love it. I love it. And thank you guys for, you know, doing the work you do, because if you guys didn't do the work you do, you wouldn't be able to help people like me to, you know, break through our blocks and get out of our way and make things happen. So thank you guys for the work you do too.
One of my mentors said, we're all just walking each other home. And I love that.
Yeah.
Ourselves home to who we are, to remember the magnificence that we all have. So
yeah.
You are magnificent, Kelly. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And tapping into all of these stories of hope and inspiration in order to be able to play your own love story each and every day.
And if you have a story to share, reach out to Kelly because she can help you publish your book literally with hardly lifting a finger. And I know these days people don't want to put the effort in, except they still want the story out there. And so reach out to Kelly. The process is super easy and your story needs to be heard. So if you're like, you know what, I really want to share my story, then this is exactly the perfect way that that can be done. And who else doesn't want the title of best-selling author on their bio either as well, right?
Exactly.
So, Kelly, to that point, please let the audience know how people can reach out to you.
Yeah, they can reach out to me at kellywoodhouse.com. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Very easy. kellywoodhouse.com. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Clear the Screen Show. If you love what you heard, take a screenshot, post it on social media, and tag us because we would love to celebrate you.
And if you want to go deeper, scan the QR code, check out our Light Circle membership. This is a community where it's going to serve you and uplift you and empower you, because when you end your anxiety, that's where your abundance begins. And when you can amplify you, then you can impact others.